Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
11 o'clock hour, Cody and Gold, Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon with you. Trash of the day in about 15 minutes. Chiefs Red half hour, 25 minutes away. Of course, coming up a little bit later today, Nate Taylor going to join us, our Chiefs insider from ESPN. Be good to have him in studio again. And we appreciate you guys always interacting with us on the Jays Southland Tow Service. Text line 913-586-7965. I made a list of things from like 2 or 3 weeks ago that I realized we haven't done that we said, hey, we should do this. And my goal is to make sure we cross these off the list in the next like 2 or 3 weeks. Maybe it's during fan club. Number one, not the instant, but what you thought were instant mashed potatoes from Bob Evans.
I think they're instant-y potatoes.
We need, yes. That's on the list.
Somebody's brought it up a couple times.
If you want to add it, Drew, to the bottom of the rundown, we need to have Cody taste the Bob Evans mashed potatoes. Okay.
Uh-huh.
That you had with the picture,
salts.
The smelling salts. Those were the top two that I had on the list. And there was a third, and I can't. You guys maybe can. There was something else that we said we need to do, and we just like completely was like, oh, we never did it. And it was the seltzers from Mountain Dew or something.
Oh yeah. The code red.
Mountain Dew. Fan club. Obviously, we've got our friends at Jay Rieger now that are part of it as well. But I still want to try.
We can do both.
Seltzers. Those were a few things I realized. Like we mentioned those over the last month or so, and we never did it. And somebody texted in yesterday. They're like, "Hey, you guys, ever going to try those mashed potatoes?" It's like, "Oh yeah, we did say we would figure that out." So maybe that happens in the next.
I still think they're not going to be as good as regular mashed potatoes, but if you're telling me they're at least passable compared to an instant mashed
Drew had them with his, I think it was grilled chicken or something or whatever the dish was.
And it's concerning me that I could tell in the photo that they were not.
Yeah. And I said, look, and you said, those are instant. Uh-huh. And I said, no, you know what? I'll defend them on this. They're not bad for being microwaved.
Correct.
All I said.
Yes.
I didn't say they're the same as red peel, you know, red skin potatoes or something. Mm-hmm. No.
Yeah. Fair enough. Let's have a conversation that I think most people in the text line have been begging to have, social media has been begging to have, and that I am at least coming around on to a point. Now, I will set a deadline for when I will firmly be on your side. Let's talk about Matt Nagy, because there is one thing that I think is happening that I think is unfair, and then I'll point out some stats that some other people have pointed out as well. The one thing I do not understand is, I agree with you that when things are going well, offensive coordinators under Andy Reid are not given much credit for the help that they do for the offense. Mostly people just credit Andy Reid. So that is a disservice to Matt Nagy for when things are going well. But I also do not think it's fair to just be like, well, it's Andy Reid's offense and Matt Nagy has no bearing on it. That is just not true. Matt Nagy obviously has a bearing on it.
Mm-hmm.
In the time Eric Bieniemy was the offensive coordinator, this is pointed out by Preston Farr, the times the team has scored under 27 points, 31% of the time they're scoring, 31% they're scoring over 27 points, 62% of the time under Eric Bieniemy. So twice as often, they were scoring 27 or more points. And just a few years ago, they had the number three offense in the NFL with MVS and Juju Smith-Schuster as the two teams' leading wide receivers. I would argue Travis Kelce was certainly better during that time, but not like 80% better than he is as a tight end now. So, like, I have seen them be successful. At this point, my issue with Nagy is I think he might be the wrong extra voice in the room. And that I will wait, and I am willing to wait until Xavier Worthy and Hollywood Brown are back. If we're at week 10 gold, all three guys in the field, and this offense still looks like ass, I'm putting it on Nagy as being a part of the problem and the part of the problem that you can actually change. Because at that point, Andy will still be a part of the problem, but I'm not doing anything with Andy. And that's the inevitable part of it.
I think with the Matt Nagy conversation that has came up last year, right? It's something that I'm glad you acknowledged it, which is true. Anytime something is bad offensively, it's his fault. Anytime it's good, it's Andy Reid's genius. And that's a bad spot to be in. Also, that's just the reality of the situation. I think you're correct that he, of course, is part of the success, and he's also part of the failure when it's failing. No doubt. I mean, you're the OC. You do the game plan all week.
You help with personnel groupings. You make suggestions.
However, sure. You know, the in-game play calling, and you didn't like this play design or whatever, like that in large part is all Andy Reid. I mean, you can say, hey, what do you know, radio guy? Mitchell Schwartz, who played with the damn team and obviously was part of those meetings, he said as much, right? Yes. That, hey, this is Andy Reid's offense. So, like, take it from him if you don't want to take it from me.
He takes the most ownership. I'm not denying
he has to. The numbers are the numbers. I mean, I can't debate the actual numbers. And the fact is, the offense production has not been as good since he took over. I'm not debating.
And like, I pointed out a year in which they did not have good weapons and still were a top offense.
That is a fact, that the numbers aren't as good. I think a lot of nuance is required, though, to explain it. I feel like I can explain a lot of it away. You can call it excuses, or Cody, just in general, you can call it excuses. I think as much as we can say, well, the MVS was part of the wide receiver room a couple years ago, a couple things were different, in my opinion, then. I do think Travis Kelce was a better football player 2 years ago, or 3 years ago, whatever
it was.
So number one, that. Number two, I think offensively, the defenses and the way they're playing them is something that they have not had an answer to. He lays some blame to that. But also, what I'm saying is, the acting like nothing changed. Like, Matt Nagy took over, Kelce didn't get older, defenses didn't change how they're playing, and all, like, acting like it was the exact same thing and like it was this massive drop up because of him. I think that's kind of crazy. I still put, if we're doing the pie chart, you know, and we're only talking about, let's call it four individuals. Let's call it Brett Veach, Andy Reid, Matt Nagy, Patrick Mahomes, and why the offense is where it is today compared to 3 years ago. I think the biggest chunk of that pie, honestly, it's still Andy Reid. I don't know if you agree. Maybe you say it's Veach. I think it's Andy, Veach, then Nagy, then Mahomes, if we're just going there. If I had to put percentages on it.
Mahomes is last for me.
Yeah,
exactly. I agree with you there.
Yeah. I think Veach is number two on that blame game, if you will. I think Andy Reid, I don't know the exact percentage. I didn't think it out. I'm making this up
on
the fly.
Don't worry about it. You're just saying that.
But Andy would have the biggest chunk. Then Matt Nagy, or then Brett Veach, then Matt Nagy. Because if we're going to say the personnel is different, and we both acknowledge that, yeah, hey, it is different personnel. Well, then why is it different? Now, right this second, on September 16th, 2025, I think the first 2 weeks of the offense acting as if like, well, Matt Nagy had his chance to prove that he can figure it out, and he hasn't, it is kind of ludicrous, because you don't have Rashee Rice, you don't have Xavier Worthy. And the backfield issue is not him. To me, that's a Brett Veach allotment of resources problem.
And although that same Mitchell Schwartz said that their run game is boring and lacks creativity.
Yeah. Well,
and
to me, that's Andy Reid and Andy Heck and Matt Nagy. It's all three of those names.
This is the issue I currently have with Nagy. Yeah. But again, I will reserve judgment till around week 10. When Rashee Rice, Hollywood Brown, and Xavier Worthy on the field together, if this offense still looks bad, somebody's head has to roll, and I know it's not going to be Andy's.
Yeah, I agree.
So, like, it's going to be Nagy's. And look, I think
I know we're going real further down the line here. I know we're having a Nagy conversation, but, like, Andy Heck, all the resources, and you can make this argument for other people on staff, too, but they have used a top pick on Josh Simmons. Now, it's two games into his career, so acting like that he should be a finished product now is crazy, but two games into his career. Kingsley was a second-round pick a year ago. They got the highest-paid center in football, the highest-paid right guard in football. They got a right tackle that's like the second-highest-paid guy on the team this season. Mm-hmm. Andy Heck, you got to make that work, man.
Yeah.
You got to make that work. Now, the scheme in it being, you know, is the creativity still there? That is absolutely a fair criticism of both Andy Reid and Matt Nagy. Where is that creativity in making it work? But I do think their hands right this second for this year, not the last 3 years, this year, their hands are a bit tied with the situation of Rice and Worthy not being available. They're asking Tyquan Thornton to be their big play threat right now. With all due respect to him, that's kind of a joke.
And a healthier Juju a couple of years ago. Because again, it's easy enough to point out the years in which it was going fine for Kansas City, even considering. Because someone said, well, they had a better running game in that year that you're talking about, Cody, in 20. And they did, I guess. But it's not like they also didn't have a star running back either to that point either. So, like, it's, you know, you're saying they had a better running game. Well, maybe that was because Eric Bieniemy was better at helping them design run sets. They both had Isaiah Pacheco. 2022 and 2023 are both Isaiah Pacheco. Eric Bieniemy, Matt Nagy. One team scored more points, one team scored less points.
Yeah, I mean, I'll be honest. We can be critical of Nagy, but the EB stuff is absolutely absurd at this point in time. Eric Bieniemy, since he left, and this was not meant to be about him in this segment, but you brought up his name. Eric Bieniemy is now a running back coach. He went from being, oh my gosh, I can't believe this guy can't get a head coach. Everybody's out to get him. He goes to Ron Rivera in Washington. It's a disaster. Not all his fault by any means. They didn't have a quarterback at the time. Ron Rivera blew out that whole system. They're all gone. Then he went to college and I think was recruiting at UCLA for a cup of coffee. Didn't make it the full season there. Now he's a running back coach again. He's gone backwards,
but it's just like
Matt Nagy
went backwards too, just not as far back.
Everybody in the NFL is completely missing that Eric Bieniemy was the genius to the Chiefs offense, yet he's a running back coach in Chicago.
No, but I do think that there's like a storm of you're better at one job than the other job, and he might have been better being an OC than he was at any of the other jobs you're just previously mentioning. Matt Nagy's a good example of that. He flamed out as a head coach, now he's back as an OC, and presume he will continue to be an OC for either the Chiefs or another. He hasn't gone as far backwards, but he has gone backwards, I guess is the point.
Yep.
My issue is that I think in Andy Reid, and this is an Andy Reid problem too, but this relates to Matt Nagy and why I think that there might need to be a change at the end of the season. I think Andy Reid has not gotten complacent, but he's got too many people who think exactly like he does as it relates to the offense, and it's not going anywhere as a result of that. If it wasn't Nagy, do you know who I want? Not some other dude on the staff. I want Sean McVay's quarterback coach. Ben Johnson's wide receiver. I don't care.
But here's the thing. Let's have the real conversation. Does Andy welcome that?
I don't know that he does, but that's part of the issue that Matt Nagy is related to this. I don't think at this point my issue with, and what I think might be the problem, and again, I'm still willing to wait till week 10 to see if I'll give him the weapons, if that's what it takes. But again, same problem lies. They get through the rest of the season. The offense never plays well. Then there is an offensive coordinator and Andy. There's a problem that somebody needs to look outside and view this, not just the same people trying to solve this problem.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think some of the, like, is he willing to accept that? Is there willing to be, you know, we've for years have given Andy so much credit for adapting. Yeah. You know, he's done it better than any other coach in football. Up until the last couple of years. I mean, before that was the biggest thing is he's been in different organizations. No matter how many young coaches come in the league, he's still a step ahead of them in his creativity. And how much of that still exists? How much of that is still the personnel thing, which gets back to the blame on Brett Veach as well for some of the issues. But usually how all this stuff works in life is it's a bunch of people's fault. It's usually never one person's.
None of us are saying it's just Nagy's fault.
But for whatever reason, he's the guy that always on social media and stuff gets the brunt of the blame. And I guess that's just the job of being the offensive coordinator. What I agree with this one text in particular, and this is the creativity, both the Nagy and Andy thing. Where's the screen game? It does not exist. It used to be one of the great staples of his offense.
Yeah.
And you can say, well, they don't have the personnel. Okay, well, then that goes back to...
What do you mean? Super athletic offensive lineman? That's the personnel.
That's Josh Simmons, the left tackle right now, by the way.
And Kingsley, as questionable as he is, he is athletic.
That's genuinely one of the first things you need for a great scheme game is super athletic offensive lineman. That's what the Chiefs possess in spades.
And they technically have the running back that fits the mold of Jerick McKinnon, whether he's as good as him or not. Who knows yet? But Rashard Smith
is the
guy.
They're not even trying, though. To this point, they don't trust him or whatever. I don't know what the issue is. I think a lot of them, you know, we could all see things that were in the offense a couple of years ago that seemingly just aren't even part of it. You know,
I think it's just gotten stale. And Nagy's a part of the staleness. Again, I would never say he bears more blame than Andy Reid, but I don't think he's a voice of like, let's try different things enough.
Yeah.
Or Andy's not listening to him enough, which is also a problem.
We also know
whatever the problem is.
What do they always say? That any former coach or any coach on staff? Andy's 51%.
Yeah. But you need somebody who can make him listen to you more in the 51. If that's part of the issue. If Eric Bieniemy,
but he's the one hiring these guys. You know what I mean? Like, who's going to tell, like, Clark Hunt, like, no, Brett Veach is not going to tell Andy not to hire somebody.
So the only 5 years?
There's that, you know, but even like the only way any of that, if you think that's the issue, that's a Clark Hunt decision only. As far as, you know, making him dictating any type of coaching hires, which I don't know if you want that either, by the way. It's not, Brett Veach is not going, to Andy Reid and tell him, hey, you need to hire someone different. That's just not the reality of how that whole setup is, especially with the success. It's hard to argue, but let's see the next couple weeks. And specifically if they ever have Brown, Worthy and Rice, are they right that that's the offense they thought could be explosive? If they ever get Brown, Rice, and Worthy on the field, and it still is like, is blah and can, you know, and it's rough to watch, then it's a multiple person problem. But then, yeah, I would agree with you. Then we have to have even more of a conversation about who at the end of the season
is going to wear it.
Yeah, because we know who's not. Mahomes and Andy Reid aren't going anywhere.
And Veach. Veach, yeah. Andy Reid. And so, like, I mean, I'll be honest with you. Once you start breaking out the hierarchy of people to blame in the offense, guess who's next on that list? Like,
sure.
Just like, let's do a, like a month ago, our company sent out the flow chart of who's in charge of who, right?
Yeah.
In the flow chart of responsibilities on an NFL team responsible for making sure the offense doesn't stink, once we get past the three people who have the most ultimate job security of all time, Andy Reid, Patrick Mahomes, and Brett Veach, Nagy's next. So
I do wonder though,
like it or not, you know, you're the guy.
We all agree that Andy Reid's not going to get fired. Obviously he's not going to be the one, but
yeah.
If they have all of them healthy and ready to go and they still have issues,
then in the offseason, they will have to make changes.
I understand that. But I think it signifies more about Andy than it does. Like Nagy will be the blame guy, but it signifies more about Andy Reid and the problems that they're actually having. And it all looks to, I think all of the eyes turn to Andy Reid and say, hey man, you got all of these guys healthy. You got rid of Nagy.
I don't disagree.
What is going to, like, I think there's more, the responsibility falls on Nagy, which is why he'll get fired. But the responsibility to make sure that it all works and comes together is obviously Andy Reid, and more people should pay attention to that if they still have problems, yeah, even though they're all together.
I don't disagree. And for someone that just got in their car and is saying, hey, what are you guys talking about? Andy Reid has won 3 Super Bowls, all that. We've acknowledged that. That's why these conversations, if we were in a city where this team wasn't winning consistently and all that, it's a whole different conversation. There is criticism always warranted, right? And the results have to be there. The thing for him, the results have been there. So it's that's why, you know, there really haven't been many staff changes, if you think about it.
And why I said I'd wait till week 10 when all the guys are back and all the offense is back before you make any rush judgments about where they are offensively. I understand the idea that the weapons are worse.
All right, let's go to San Francisco for this one. You were actually there. You stayed a day or two later after we were out in Santa Cruz. You and the wife went up to San Francisco.
That's where I got married.
Right? I don't know if you went to any of these restaurants.
All right, what are they?
Well, there was a Bay Area chef who is in custody now.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, he allegedly hit 3 San Francisco banks in one day.
He's a bank robber?
He's a chef and an alleged bank
restaurant
robber.
Restaurant work is tough, man. It's hard to keep a restaurant afloat. Trying to keep his restaurants going.
On Wednesday, San Francisco police received an alert for a robbery at a bank in a certain neighborhood of San Francisco. By the time they arrived, the suspect had fled, but an employee provided a description of a man. She had passed her a note demanding money. The employee gave him a bag of cash. As the investigation unfolded, San Francisco police learned 2 other bank robberies took place that day, also in the Central District, which is right in the same area. They all involved a suspect with similar physical description. They soon identified this gentleman who lives in the area as their suspect, and he was taken into custody. Prior to being a chef, he had a criminal history as well. Executive chef at a couple of restaurants. Did you go to a place called Ottavio?
No.
Rose Pistola?
No.
Uh-huh. That's all I got for you.
Okay. No, I haven't been to either of those restaurants.
But yeah, this guy, by the way, 3 banks in one day.
He's tired of being a chef.
3 banks in one day, though. Like, you just said, I'm going to knock them all out right away.
I mean, in fairness,
you're going to get caught more likely because all
of them were able to. Do you think so? I feel like I'm likely to get caught either way.
Well, yes, likely to get caught either way, but you saw what happened. They said that he went to one bank, they got a description, they had 2 other robberies that all had the same description. It was very obvious it was the same dude. If he would have waited a year later, eventually maybe they would have matched the descriptions, but it would take a little more work. They made this easy.
You think it was a little too easy to be like, these are all same guys?
Same guy, same day.
All I got to do is find him in 3 spots and then guilty.
He made it way too easy on him.
You think you try to get the maximum amount of money for one trip instead.
But I've always told you, you know, if you were to rob banks, Cody, just do it once and quit. But nobody ever can do it one time and quit.
Coming up tomorrow in Cody's professor segment, Alex Gold will be guest speaking on how to properly
This was Chief Saholic issue as well. You rob one bank, you would have been fine. You tried to rob like 10 of them. And you finally got caught. Nobody just robs. I swear, like, someone should look this up. Somebody in law enforcement, can someone tell me how often does the person you catch for bank robbery only ever have robbed one bank in their life? I bet you it's like 0%. There's no way you're one and done unless you got caught in the act. I'm saying you get away with one. You think they didn't go back a month later, 6 months later? No chance.
These people go for more. They can't just rob one bank and be done. Thank goodness, I guess, because we catch them.
I'm trying to look up the, I'm going to the FBI.gov to find out bank robbing.
Okay.
Statistics. Because
I mean, you used to work at a bank, as we know.
Yeah, I don't remember them telling us exactly what percentage. I wanted to know.
With a criminal past sounds like Cody.
There were 1,263 bank robberies in 2023. That's the last updated crime data based on that.
Of known robberies.
I can tell you of known robbers. I can tell you ethnicity and gender. I'll tell you what, men, you guys rob banks way more often.
I kind of figured.
Way more often. There are only like 100 female bank robbers of those 1,263. They most often
Do we have an average age range? Like, what's the most popular age? Do
that's
we have
interesting.
That? They most often occur on a Friday. They most often occur between 3 and 6 p.m.
Close. 3 and 6.
Friday between 3 and 6, around closing time. Yeah, they're trying to get you right at the end of the day. Maybe you got more money around.
Huh.
I don't see age range yet. I'm still looking. Only about 67% clearance rate. There's 30% out there getting away with this. Not to encourage
Okay.
I'm just saying, based on 2023, they didn't have a great clearance rate.
At that time. Again, I'm convinced that they may not get caught. Chiefs of Holland got away with it for a couple of years.
These stats are 2 years old. They could have caught them by now. Yeah, that's a fair point.
I don't know.
Anyway,
that's the trash of the day. Here on Cody and Gold. Up next, let's talk more about the offensive line. I know we were having a larger conversation about everybody's blame and piece of the pie, if you will. But what about the offensive line 2 weeks into the season? And we'll get back into the aggressiveness on
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a great conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Fourth down.
Welcome in to the Chiefs Red Half Hour. Every day at 11:30 with Cody and Gold on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5, The Fan.
Chiefs Red Half Hour brought to you by All Weather Decks, Kansas City's most respected deck builder. Check them out at allweatherdecks.net.
Royals will be in action again tonight. We will talk about them a little bit during What's Trending. Also, I will give a shout out real quick that we will get to the Chiefs from the 785. This is pretty cool. Someone says, hey, Cody, Gold, Drew, my name is Jeff. Love the show. I'm singing the national anthem tonight for the Royals. Want to give me a shout out? Sure.
Sure, Jeff.
Something like that. That's pretty cool.
I think shout outs in the show starting with college.
I think we've become a show of shout outs.
I don't know if we like that, but I will say this is unique, Jeff. I appreciate it. And I bring it up only because Jeff, you're a real singer. You know, I appreciate that. Cody has wanted to sing the anthem, and they're never going to allow him to do it, I don't think.
You had gone into our boss's office to speak to him on something, and I was sitting out there with Drew, and I said, should I work on a song begging Andy to do a QB sneak? Because I'm tired of it. And I was trying to think of a song, and I didn't have it yet.
I'm intrigued by the possibilities.
I was just, you know, spitballing, should I be considering something like this? You know, that's all.
I'm trying to think of some lyrics.
Or something to fix the offense, kind of like how we used to do with hitters. Is it time to do a song to fix the Chiefs offense? Because I'm sick of watching.
When you said the first thing that popped into my brain when you said a song about the offense, we just talked about Nagy. Like I feel like you're going to try to do a Grease song, Nagy instead of Sandy. It's going to be it's going to be about Nagy.
There was a suggestion potentially about a certain play as well that Cody had mentioned. Okay. I was like, there might be a way to.
We'll see.
Let's talk about this offensive line, though, with the Chiefs. It's 2 weeks in. I think early returns continue to be very mixed. I think part of the run game, as much as Pacheco and Hunter getting criticized, so much of this run game is not just scheme, but it's also like, hey, win at the line of scrimmage. Like the fact that you have the best center in football, we're told one of the best guards in football on the right side with Trey Smith, a tackle making as much as he is on the right side.
you know, a second-year player in Kingsley is a work in progress. Josh Simmons has only played two games, so I'm going to give him a little bit more of a leash, obviously, than everybody else. You have to be able to get a yard. Push enough to where you get a yard. We can talk scheme all we want. At some point, though, it is, do you win at the line of scrimmage enough to give your running back an opportunity to get a freaking yard? Not a 10-yard run, a yard.
Singular.
So when watching the game, and you had a different vantage point than me, sometimes the TV broadcast, I miss stuff when I'm not there, right?
Yeah.
Or when I am there, I should say, and I wasn't watching on TV. I was at Arrowhead. So you tell me if I'm wrong. From above, it sure looked like with Kingsley through 2 weeks, when he has a really good rep, he dominates. Like,
yeah. He's still very physical.
Right, like he dominates. The problem is when he gets beat or misses a subject, it's brutal. He gets beat. It's all or nothing with Kingsley right now, it seems like, whenever he's out there playing, which at times you're like, wow, okay, I can see why they like the kid. All right. And then other times, like, oh gosh, get Mike Caliendo in there. It's not consistent at all.
I will say, much like the defense, and we didn't give him this, there was a, I think, noticeable improvement from week one to week two. If you ask me where the offensive line is, do I think it's perfect and I feel great in it? No. Do I feel better about it than I did after week one? Yes. Because Kingsley held up. Now, Jalen Carter was holding his wrist the entire game, admittedly. He held up better against that Philly defensive line than I was anticipating. And Simmons let up zero pressures in the game and very clearly is very, very, very good in the pass blocking department. That's Kingsley's weakness, I would argue. But Simmons is really good. He can pass block. He's going to get Patrick Mahomes time in that spot. I would still say the biggest surprise to me so far in the offensive line is, you say, let's give it a review after 2 weeks versus where the week is. They seem to be having the broadcast, to your point, was pointing out, and what seems to be the case, more miscommunication than I'm expecting. On that 4th and 1, it looks like two people are trying to block one way and someone's trying to block the other.
And is that happening on the left side or the right side? Because on the left side, I will understand it slightly. You know, you've got a new guy at left tackle and a new guy at left guard. The right side, though, the combination, and I'll include Creed on left and right side, obviously he's the center. The right side, that is Creed, Trey Smith, Jawan Taylor. There's no excuse there.
Yeah. But
they're vets, and they're also some of your highest paid players on the team.
Because I'm not in the film room. There's been a couple of times where one side of the offensive line looks like they're going one way and then one's going the other. Or they're like blocking different gaps. So I'll just be honest with you. I would assume it's the left side screwing that up. Going to make me guess? It's Kingsley and Simmons being confused about what their assignment is. Not Creed Humphrey, the all-pro center. And everybody on the right side who is paid high enough, you would think that they're not making those mistakes. Now, Jawan Taylor had less penalties, but not zero. Man still couldn't get through 60 minutes. It was what, like fourth quarter, halfway through? Still got held for a holding penalty. So he couldn't quite make it the whole way, Gold, but did slightly better in that area. Didn't have any false starts that were of note. I would say week one, I would have given the offensive line a D. D or, you know, I don't know, C minus, right? D plus, C minus for their effort. A lot of mistakes. Kingsley got blown up a couple of times. Khalil Mack walked through his ass on a snap. Multiple guys made mistakes. Creed skipped that ball on a weird one. So they just had a bad day. I'd say D plus, C minus. This one I would probably give like a B minus to.
Really?
I thought C plus.
Okay.
Yeah, I thought it was like a much improved performance. By no means their best performance, but I thought it was improved.
Yes, from week one to week two. Week one would have been like a D for sure. And
okay,
this
so I'm
was,
just grading this, slightly better in both. But
yeah, Professor Tapp. I would
easy grader.
I would say it was a C to C minus performance still overall for the entire line. When you cannot, and I understand what the Eagles front is. We saw it in the Super Bowl. They did not get as dominated, obviously, as they did in that game. Jalen Carter still existed. I totally get it. But the offensive line has not shown this year, it was an issue last year too, that they can win at the line of scrimmage enough for you to be able to get a yard on a 4th and 1. We can talk about play design all we want and run scheme and all that.
They didn't on that one, but I mean, you know, they are 5 for 6 on 4th. So I mean, they're doing now. That means they're having to get to 4th, which is not getting on 3rd.
Or mainly just talking about run stuff. We're not even getting into the pass protection stuff where Patrick Mahomes still, now it wasn't Jalen Hurts 2.11 seconds getting the ball out or having to get the ball out. We all know Patrick Mahomes, the reason why he led this team in rushing, not only was it him trying to make something happen, but there were times where he felt the need to do so due to some pressure. I mean, that how many? I don't know how many sack. I can't remember the sack number overall with the pressure versus sack rate. Right?
They gave up two sacks.
So two sacks is the sack number. Obviously, was pressured far more than that.
Patrick Mahomes has the, and look, if you're just looking for advanced stats to back up my, I think they've done okay or not as bad as you think.
Yeah.
Patrick Mahomes has the eighth best currently pressure time from snap. As in, he gets the ball and he's pressured, eighth best. So there are seven quarterbacks who have more time to throw than him. Right now, those are Jared Goff, Baker Mayfield, Josh Allen, Daniel Jones, Justin Herbert, Lamar Jackson, and Russell Wilson.
What's the combined record of those teams? I mean, the Giants are lowering them down big time. Otherwise, I feel like
Lions are 1-0, Tampa Bay's 2-0, Josh Allen, Buffalo's 2-0.
Lions are 1-1.
Yeah, 1-1, 2-0 for the Bucks, 2-0 for the Bills, 2-0 for the Colts, 2-0 for the Chargers, 1-1 for Baltimore, should be 2-0, and 0-2 for the Giants.
The Giants are the outlier. Otherwise, I was saying, it's like, oh, you mean if your quarterback has all kinds of time, things go well for the offense? Huh. It's amazing how that works.
You can't act like that's the reason they lost the game, because if you look back...
True. So, this is where, that's almost like a text
or text. He has been knocked down 10 times, in those pressures, get hit more.
I am not saying that is the reason. It is not as simple as... I'm not saying, literally, if the Chiefs just gave him more time, everything would be fine. That's not what I'm saying at all.
Maybe
it's part
this
of the
equation.
I'm more like, I thought the offensive line... I thought I would have given him a B or a B minus,
really?
Too, oof. Just because...
they couldn't move.
They also three of the offensive linemen had three of the highest grades on offense.
That says more about the playmakers on offense.
Which is why I think Mahomes had to run more, is because the offensive line they weren't bad, but it was nobody could get open. Just the same as it was in week one, where Patrick just had to do his thing.
This is where I kind of agree that this might be a wide receiver stat goal. The idea that the offensive line played worse and he didn't complete the passes. So of all those guys I just mentioned, the seven players who have more time to throw than him, pressure from snap percentage, most of those guys have been knocked down four times. Patrick Mahomes in those has been knocked down 13 times.
Okay.
Which means when the pressure is getting there, his ass is on the ground. And my guess is that is largely because he can't let it go. And he can't let it go till later to make sure that those guys are actually open. I think the offensive line will look better as the weapons do improve. He's also being blitzed more than anyone, not Daniel Jones. They have tried to blitz. This is the funny stuff. They have tried to blitz the hell out of Daniel Jones as an effort to try to get to him. They have blitzed Daniel Jones 37 times. For instance, Patrick Mahomes has been blitzed 17 times. They blitzed Daniel Jones 20 more times. They've only blitzed Jared Goff 5. They're not even trying to get to him.
Well, because Goff, I can't remember what it was a few years ago, is a popular stat out there that Goff, when he's blitzed, his numbers are absolutely insane, in a good way.
In fairness, he also has a great offensive line. So they blitz, but this is the thing.
You better get to
him. Of all those teams, I'm curious. So I know from the teams that you mentioned, the Giants have Malik Nabers, the Colts have Michael Pittman and Tyler Warren, who looks all of it as advertised, and Jonathan Taylor.
I would say the Colts probably have the worst weapons of those groups before you go through all of them.
The Bills.
My guess, the Colts have the worst.
Even worse than the Bills?
Comparable.
But the Bills have Khalil Shakir. They have Keon Coleman. They have James Cook. If you look at the I think this is where the story kind of turns itself into the weapons side of things, is the weapons of all those teams that were mentioned, the Ravens as well being included, the Chiefs don't have that full complement, where I think that's what's...
Yeah, they don't.
That's what makes the offensive line look worse, at least at the moment, is that they don't have Rasheed, they don't have Xavier Worthy, and they're relying on Hollywood, who is limping off the sideline after three plays on Sunday.
Yeah, I think that's part of it. None of those teams are missing their top two weapons in their offense, period.
Nope. Not a single one. I don't even know that any of them are missing any of their weapons on offense.
I'd have to think about it.
I'm dead serious.
Yeah. I mean, the Lions have the most plentiful.
Godwin for the Bucks, but also they have other dudes.
Yeah. Mike Evans and Egbuka, who's looking great.
the running back duo. KK Dotton is nice.
Bucky Irving and Rashad White, what I would do to have either of them in the backfield. My goodness.
I so badly want them to have a run.
Although I really think a lot of the run, as much as I agree that the vision for Pacheco is a problem, Kareem Hunt, to me, even if you think he can provide something, he can't do it all year. So much, I still think they, on a run play though, they do not get any push.
What are they? So I don't disagree. But he's also missed. I watched three runs where he just ran into the back of a guard.
Yes,
there
the
is
vision.
Place where it doesn't look like he got any push because he went 1 yard, but he could have had at least three or four. I'm not saying it was world beater numbers, but he could have had more yards than the man got.
If this was his first year, I would buy into it more, though. That's where it goes back to the offseason convo we had about the running backs. It's like, you brought back Kareem Hunt. Did that impact how you drafted? I think the answer is yes. And so if you know Pacheco has a vision problem on short yardage or whatever it may be, then maybe you needed to bring in somebody else as well instead of running it back, essentially. And I understand they drafted Breshard Smith, but to this point in time, I think he had like one, did he have like one carry on Sunday?
Yeah.
Something like that.
I would give, I mean, I'll just, this goes back to the Matt Nagy.
Give it a try.
If we are 8 weeks into this and there's still no run game, you want to explain to me the harm in giving Breshard Smith?
Right.
If every carry is 3 yards a carry, I'm pretty sure he can do that. So, like, if there is no run game to speak of, then there is no harm in giving somebody else a shot in the running game, will be my argument. But again, I'll wait for the full complement of weapons to come in there. Plus, they're stuck in a spot where they're going for fourth more. And Andy Reid can say that they're not going for fourth more. I genuinely think this was Andy Reid. He was asked about whether or not they're going for more. To be clear, I know statistically they are going for it more.
Yeah, we've always been one of the top teams in the league to go for it on fourth down. So I've done that for years. I tell you no.
It's not true. I looked it up. They are regularly in the 20s of percentage of teams. Typically about 2/3 of the league goes for it more than the Chiefs. They are better than almost every team consistently in the league at getting fourth downs. They've had one down year essentially in the last 4 to 5. Other than that, they've ranked somewhere near the top 5 to 7 in converting fourth downs. So they are better at doing it than anybody. Yeah. They do not go for it more than anyone. They are actively going for it more than they ever have under Andy Reid.
And I like that.
And I do too. I hope it lasts all year. I hope they are so successful, because I know why they're doing it now. They're not doing it now because Andy Reid woke up, you know, a month ago and decided, you know what? I'm aggressive now. I go for it. They've been able to get away with it because they got Patrick Mahomes. They're always leading. They can get in a fourth quarter situation and just win. That's not happening, so they feel the pressure to go for it. And I'm just telling you right now, I seriously doubt I could find a single instance in which Andy Reid went for a 4th-and-1 in the 30-yard territory, in his own territory, any time in the last 5 years. I don't think I can find a single instance. And he did it because he knew his offense needed it.
Yeah.
I hope it sticks, is the truth.
Yeah, I had no issue with the decision. We can, you know, there's a difference between disagreeing with the decision and you didn't like the execution. Any time a fourth down fails, nobody likes that. But I had no problem with the decision on the 4th-and-1. And inside their own territory right out of the gate to do that. That goes back to execution on the run game and everything that we already discussed a few minutes ago. But yeah, they convert at a high rate. This is not a team that typically is in the top five or anything like that in terms of attempts on fourth down. But they're not there. And so I think when you have an offense that's struggling the way they are, you're trying to get some momentum. You're trying to sustain a drive. You know that right now you're not probably confident your offense going out there and getting anywhere near 28 or 30 points. And so you need to make sure that you don't miss a possession because you're not playing catch up. This is not the offense that can play catch up anymore as it currently is constructed.
At least not for the next month, most likely.
Until Worthy, Rice, and Brown, if we ever see them all three on the field at the same time, until that happens, they probably don't have a shot. You know, it's amazing. Like the Chargers game, they did come back from a deficit almost. But of course, they made too many mistakes in that game, and those were that was when the defense wasn't playing well. So I think the fourth down attempt rate, we won't really have a good idea until probably week 10, because I want to see, does that keep up? If it keeps up until Rice and Worthy are on the field at the same time, does that continue when Rice is back, or do they back off of the attempts? But right now, I wouldn't be surprised on Sunday night, depending on the game flow. If they're aggressive again, they should be. They absolutely need to. They're an 0-2 football team as well. You need to roll the dice a little bit more to begin with.
The truth is that the entire, I think what it's coming to the realization is Kansas City does coach different in a playoff situation versus the way they coach now. They have been actively in the first 2 weeks, been acting like how they act in the playoffs with Mahomes in the running, which he's openly admitted. With Andy and the fourth down stuff, they're treating it like it's third quarter of the AFC title game. And we better put ourselves and give ourselves every little minute chance to win, because they know that the wins are getting away from them. They're 0-2, and they know they're going to have to stack some if they want to accomplish the things they're going to have to do. But Andy has not been. To be very clear, I looked up all the attempts for the last 5 years, and I didn't want to bore you with like telling you where they ranked every year. It's regularly in the mid-20s. And so they don't go for it that high a rate. I think they're just treating it like it's a playoff game, because they know that that's what it's going to take in order to get some of these wins early on. And I hope, man, I hope, Gold, all this stuff is just fodder, in the sense that 4 weeks from now, when everyone's back and they are healthy, that what we're we'll getting
see.
Ready to see.
It's an unknown. I mean, the only known out of that really is that, that we know score. We know Rashee Rice prior to the injury was
looking
dominant, but we've never seen all three. I mean, we don't know if that changes everything offensively or not.
You pointed out early in the show. You pointed out that you know maybe you know like last year I said they're just like they're averaging like in the teens right now. And you said well last year they scored in the 20s, but the first 2 weeks that was with Rice.
With Rice so, against the Bengals and Ravens.
So I don't think they would have been. I don't think they would have been
all there.
I don't think they would have been the world's best offense in the NFL last year, even with Rice, because of the issues they had on offense and all the other stuff, right? I don't think that they would have been the league's best offense last year. But, like, if you just take what their average was in those first two games, and again, in a fair point, Cincinnati might have had the worst defense in the league. But if you just take that 27 points per game that they had the first two games, they would have been like the seventh, they would have been as good as Cincinnati's offense points per game last year.
Yeah, I mean,
if that would have continued, I do think that they're a top 10 offense with their weapons.
Like, we can disagree about what the end game looks like statistically for every player and the overall win and loss record when this is all done. But it is hard to argue that if they get the opportunity to have Rice and Worthy back on the field, let alone with Brown on the field,
offense will be better.
It is going to be better. Now, to what extent? The jury is out on that. Like, the offense will be better when you all of a sudden have a player like Rashee Rice on the football field. It just will. I don't care where you're at, what system, what issue you might have with your offensive coordinator, your offensive line. Now, those issues have to get cleaned up for it to become a top offense. But in terms of just being better than this crap we've been watching, yes, it will be better.
I did say, like, we did stock up, stock down yesterday. And I think a good point by, very rarely do we point out, a good point by a national media narrative. The thing they said, I think they were doing, like, give up. Same thing, similar concept. Okay. And they said the thing they were giving up on is enjoying Chiefs games. Not that like the Chiefs as a team, but enjoying them. And I was like, you know what? That's actually a good for the next month. I'm not going to try to enjoy watching the Chiefs offense. I'm just hope that they have enough to win because I've definitely given up on enjoying it for the next month. I'm going to need to actually see. I remembered a time when we watched the Chiefs. You're like, look how much more fun that you'd watch other teams. You're like, oh my God, it's so boring. I hate watching your offense. It's so lame. That's the Chiefs offense now. It's not fun to watch.
Up next, we will get to what's trending. Then we'll talk a bit more about what we saw in the rest of the AFC West last night with the Chargers and Raiders and a little All 32 right here on Cody and Gold.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.